Okay, well, good morning, everyone. I get these wires manipulated here. Just don't feel quite natural, but... Okay, well, I am truly blessed this morning to be here, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be in the house of God here with all of you, and it's a blessing. Many times I don't believe I appreciate it enough, and just want to express that at this time and thank the Lord for the meditation this morning, Brother Denny, what he shared, and oh, for a faith like that. I fear sometimes that we live in a way that that don't take faith like that. And I just pray that God would stir us up. Also for Brother Martin, he kind of just paved the way. And I'm going to revise your picture just a little bit and we'll go from there. So I'd like to do that maybe this time. Why don't we have a word of prayer too before we start? Why don't we pray? James, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Need to have a trash can up here for the bad markers, right, Steve? Oh, I see. So this is a good one, right? Okay, that's good. Okay, well, we were at the Ark as well. I think it was, last year sometime. And very impressive. The size. How many of you have been there before? Many of you? If you haven't been, it's worth the time to go, I think. I'm just going to try to draw a little bit here. This is going to be more of the side view. I'm not an artist by no means. It's a huge boat. And I don't know what the ratio would be, but that door on the side, it's a huge door. If you stand beside it, I mean, how tall is it, Martin? Is it 10 feet tall or 12 feet tall? And I mean, on the side of the Ark, though, looking at it, I mean, it kind of looks something maybe, I don't know if it's even that big. I don't know. Something like that. And outside they have, I can't draw very well here, but they've got a ramp that comes down here and, I don't think people, was they actually using that door yesterday outside? They don't actually use that, I don't think. People standing out there, I'll just try to draw some people. Okay, so kind of keep that picture in mind, what Martin had shared there. that's a blessing. Just a picture of what I would like to talk about here a little bit this morning. Can you see that in the back? Can you read that, John? decision, I-O-N, right? See that, John Seal? Okay. Okay, choices, decisions, and pathways. And I want to say at the beginning here that I don't have everything figured out, but I just thank God for His hand that comes and touches us again and reminds us of things that we need to change. And I felt like that's what has been happening to me slowly and over some issues. Again, I should keep with my notes. I'd like to greet you in Jesus' precious name, the name that is above all names, the one that created you, the one who has came, by whom is redemption, salvation, forgiveness of sin, as well as victory over sin, also the one to whom we all, each one of us, shall give an account for our works, our actions, our words, and also our choices. And it will be 100% accurate, flawless, and perfect judgment. Revelation 22:12 says this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be." By the way, thank you, Dan, for the papers. I have this dilemma, and it seems like it happens every time, that I'm supposed to have a message. I get my verses all ready to go, and I go out and print them, and my cartridge is dry, like bone dry, and the printer in the house don't work. And there I was, and so we were a little bit late. So I apologize about that. That's challenging. Sorry. Anyways, this message has come about by various things. A message that I heard recently on eternal judgment. The brother talked about choices and consequences. Maybe some of you, how many of you heard that message? Some of you, Brother Dale Gish preached that message. I'd encourage you to get it. It's rather harsh about the sight of God that not many people talk about, but it's right. So if you get a chance to listen to that, it'd be a blessing for you. I think it was preached in Bern, so you can listen to it there. By the way, by the many things that we see around us and have seen over the last 10, 15 years, just think back, many of us, just think. And choices that have been made, another thing that brought it about is a burden for my own family, my own children, that we would make godly choices based on God's word, and also a keen awareness of my own weakness. May God help me to make choices that would lead to life eternal with Jesus. And I just wrote down here to ignore history and to, by faith, just look away. I believe we'll be sadly just disappointed one day. I think that's what will happen. I'd like to, just so, the reason I left the ark up there, if you want to, turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at that's just kind of an opening here, and we'll be referring to that quite a bit. Genesis chapter 6, I'd like to read from 1 to verse 13. The account of Noah when God spoke to him and warned him of what was about to take place. All right, let's read verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his hearts, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found, now just verse 8 and 9 are interesting. They just sort of interjected in here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is become before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And I'll just make a disclaimer here as well. Some of the things that I'd like to talk about today, and whatever, you may have heard them before, most likely, and also you brothers, I'm sure, could explain this much better than I can. And but the thing is that the scriptures say, iron sharpeneth iron. And most of you have used saw blades. In the woodworking, it's router bits. Does somebody know what the good hard steel is? It's not steel, but what is it that really holds up, Steve? What is it? Carbide. Or what, diamond? Yep, carbide. That stuff is so hard. I mean, if you can't bend it, it'll just snap. And it holds up, it holds an edge like very, very, very good. And I guess my thought is this, but it takes something harder than carbide to sharpen it. I don't know what they use. They use diamond? Something. I don't know what they use. And something has to be hard enough. But my point is this, that at times it's good for myself and all of us to just be reminded. Even though we heard something before, it's good to be reminded again. Because we forget, that's why. And this one little point that I would like to talk about later is one that I think I have forgotten. I have forgotten a little bit. I told my wife this morning, I'm grateful that God has reminded me again. Okay, the days in which Noah lived were not very good days. As the population grew, the wickedness also grew to the point that God said, It's over. My spirit will quit striving with man. And here's the time frame that's left for man. I'm giving you 120 years and it's over. That's what God said. And God said it, he meant it. And can you just put yourself in that position with Noah? God came and told him that. And it says Noah walked with God, so he knew, I'm sure he knew God's heart. But I'm sure there was still a decision in his heart that had to be made, that a choice that will be made, and that word choice, I'll use that often here today. But he made a choice to build that ark. He made a choice. I will destroy both man and beast, creeping things, as well as the fowls of the air. And it seemed that God had a relationship, maybe had been trying to reach man, to speak to him, to be their guide and friend. However, the people as a whole, as a major whole, were not interested. Simply not interested. There are two things that stand out to me. I've never really thought of it this way before or considered it much before. it may be debatable what is meant by the sons of God and the daughters of men, and they bear children, and or the imagination of the hearts was evil continually. I kind of always thought of immorality, you know, and I believe it was immorality. But at the core of that is, I think this is right. I stand to be corrected. My thoughts are that it was not the act of immorality and all the wickedness just by itself, but it seems that the core issue was that when the children of God came intertwined with the children of the world and began to intermingle, to live like, to act like, to dress like, to think like, to marry into, you fill in the blank, when God's people, his chosen people, begin to make choices that are contrary or even slightly contrary to the word of God and his commandments, it's like a relationship with two wives and one husband, or one husband and one wife, or two wives, whatever. Two wives, one husband, two husbands, one wife, whatever. But it's what it's called is spiritual adultery. That's what it's called. And I think at the core of it, God couldn't take it anymore because people were not interested in him. They had affairs with others. And God said, it's over. It's over. And today we live in the day after all that, the day that Christ came, in that era, and his love and his mercy and his grace is here for all of us. But I still think God has no less of a hatred for those things. I don't think he hates it any less. When God's people, and again, please hear my heart, I'm not thinking of any single person here. I feel like we need to sharpen one another, and because if we don't, we'll just go the way of everyone else. That's how it goes, according to history. So in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's as clear as it gets. And when God's people do this, God is not well pleased. He's not well pleased. It doesn't bless him. And will someday most assuredly bring swift judgment. It will happen. It will happen. He didn't give us a time frame, but he gave us signs of the times to look for. And we're not far. I want to read to you Revelations 20, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You may turn there if you like. There's a number of verses. Just turn to Revelations 20. That'd be a blessing. All the way in the back of your Bible. Okay, Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15. You know, again, it's a side of God and his perfect judgment and his perfectness that sometimes we don't hear a lot about, you know, and it's not fun to talk about his judgment. It's not enjoyable. But I think this is what I thought about, and I didn't have it in my notes here too much, but the fear of God, you know, sometimes I think, you know, when we were young, I had this in me, I mean, I had this fear of God. And I think it was maybe just, it was kind of a real being afraid of God, just fearful. And how many of you identify that when you were younger? I do. I think you all, many of you do. And it's had this fear of God that we may not please him. And that was an unconverted state. However, when we get saved, when we're born again, I think we should still, it's still healthy to have a fear of God. Because we should be careful. Joshua told the children of Israel in the book of Joshua many, many times before he died, he said, be careful, take good heed to the words of the law. Take good heed to the commandments of God. That's my own words. But be diligent, he said. Be careful Because God sees and he cares about every little choice. Every detail, they go somewhere. And that's what I would like to keep us in mind, that, and also in that message, there's one phrase that stuck to my mind. Way leads on to way. Remember that, Jonas? Way leads on to way. And if you just picture maybe like, I'm just going to draw a journey here. Like, say you start here, you know, and this, you choose to go this way. You know, well, we're going to end up here, okay? And from this point, you know, we make decisions and choices and whatever, and if we go, keep going our direction, it leads us to another place. Way leads on to way. Again, another choice. And many times in the Christian life, I think, you know, what's so subtle is that, now I'm thinking of choices, negative choices here. And this whole thing could be applied to positive choices. But my heart here is a little bit on negative choices, just to help us, just to help me to be careful. Because, you know, sometimes we choose to go this way and something over here is just a little bit uncomfortable. We don't quite feel good about it. Maybe something isn't quite right there with that choice. But we just linger around. And I tell you what, brothers, it becomes comfortable. It's just fine. And soon we get the liberty to go a little, another choice, another time. And again, it's maybe just a bit more uncomfortable, you know. But again, with time, it becomes just fine. Just fine. And again, on the pathway goes. But my point is this. Our pathways have destinations at the end. And, you know, the thing is we can make choices, sometimes bad, sometimes not the best choices, but God in his mercy is also able to turn us around. He's also able to get a hold of our hearts if need be, and that for that I am thankful, because I tell you, I'm thankful that God is still in that business. But the point is that way leads on to way. Every choice we make, especially in the things of God, the kingdom of God, they're leading us somewhere. And someday, they will have a result. Okay. So, choices. Oh, I had this little poem that I was going to read off, but I left it at home. All right, so then the rest of Genesis there, you know, if maybe you can turn back to that, we could just read through that, the rest of Genesis, I think it is, yeah, 14 to 22, and then we'll talk about that just a little bit. Genesis 6, 14 to 22. Okay, let's begin reading here. Genesis 6, 14 to 22. This is when, you know, after God came to Noah and said, Noah, this is what I'm going to do. Now here's instructions for Noah. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make it to the ark. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof with a lower and a second and a third story. The ark has three stories. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after this kind, two of every sort shall come in unto thee, to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Take note of that verse, the last verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. In verse 5 of the next chapter, and Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now, you know, I just thought, God spoke to Noah and he said what he would do. And note, two times it says that Noah did all that God commanded him. He was obedient. He made a choice. And here's the thing, all these things that the Lord said to him, unto Noah, you know, and I'm sure that there was maybe some, I don't know, maybe Noah had complete faith and just didn't have any, you know, just didn't think about it at all or whatever. But in his heart, I'm sure he said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Here's and they together made a decision or a choice to obey God and embark on a 120-year journey of building the ark and preaching to others of the coming judgment and perhaps inviting others to come as well. But the point is this, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He moved with fear to the prepared and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And that's the thing. God told Noah, and it moved him. You know, it made him do something. You know, it sometimes I feel like that we could be jolted, myself, we could be jolted to actually move. And I have 2 points later I'm going to talk about. And sometimes when we're moved with fear, you know, if there's a fire in your house, if a small fire starts in the corner of your house, you're moved with fear and you move into action and you do it. You out in the fire the best you can, the quickest you can. You move with fear. And how much more the spiritual choices that come our way, let us move with a holy fear of God because he cares. He wants us to make right choices. The devil don't. The devil don't. Noah being warned, this is an interesting point, being warned of God of things that had never been seen before. Not rain, or especially not a flood. That alone would take an amazing amount of faith with all the people that were thinking, Noah, what are you talking about? It has never rained before. You're building this boat on dry land. What are you doing? You know, traditionally they build ships in a shipyard where they push them into the water. Not build it on dry land. I mean, you can imagine the foolishness that it looked like. But Noah moved with fear to the building of his house, or the ark to the saving of his house. And that's what sometimes I think we as God's people move with fear, because God cares. And I just wrote, he was moved with fear by the fear of God and the reverence to his holy word. Noah sprang into action. He was motivated to obey God no matter what came. All the scuffing, all the mockery, the scorn, and the contempt that came his way, he kept on building the ark. He probably, you know, his three sons, and I don't know if he hired people, I don't know, but they kept on building the ark. There was probably days of despair. There were days that, you know, is this really going to happen? But by faith, he kept on building the ark. He entered in. And it saved his house. He was alone. And a question, are or would we be willing, if it meant us, if it means us, to go in a quite different direction than the majority? Would we do it? Would I do it? would we do it? You know, I asked my children the other day, we were talking. You know, I asked my girls, you know, if your very best friend decided to turn away from a principle in God's word and do it differently, to make a choice that might lead away from God's word, what would you do? What would I do? Are we willing to stand alone if we need be? That's the faith. That's the fear of God that we must have. As a body, as a collective body, if we have that, God will be with us. And there's always going to be things that we will face and work through, but if we have that faith, if we move by the fear of God and are careful to keep his commandments, are diligent, and when we fall away from something and we struggle on something, that a brother comes along and says, hey, listen, I don't think that's going to turn out okay, that we'd say, thank you, brother, I'll take it. I want to change. Can we do that? I'm just afraid if we can't, we'll go the normal way. Will we stand alone if we need to? Joshua 24:15. How many of you know what that verse says? Anybody? What is it, Jonas? Yeah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were in the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. And may that be our heart this morning. Come what may, if our friends decide to do something different, pray for them. Maybe talk to them. But you know, we've got choices. And choices have consequences. Choices have consequences, and we can't choose them. Let's just be careful in our own walk. Joshua, he basically said that you can serve who you would like, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are many others in the scriptures that follow the Lord as Joshua. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Joseph, Isaiah, the disciples of Jesus himself, and many more. Jacob, David, Gideon, the Apostle Paul. Many. Just many, many. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 33 to 40. Hebrews 11, 33 to 40. Often referred to as the faith chapter. And it indeed is. It indeed is. However, it was a faith that acted. It was a faith that acted. That's the thing. Let's read about some of these people and these people that chose to do whatever it took. Okay, 33 to 40, here we go. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Verse 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain without the sword, or with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And that, I believe, was Christ and his coming. God having provided something, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We have so much more than them. That's the thing. We've got so much more than they did. They just looked ahead. For us, it's already behind. It has happened. I just wrote down, this, my brothers and sisters, is true faith. It is not just a mental assent that I will believe God, but more importantly, that I will obey him at any cost. I'll read that one more time. It is not just a mental assent. It is that, but it's not just that I will believe God, but more importantly, that I will obey him at any cost. Will I? Another question. Will you? Even if it means to be different from the majority? These all made a choice, or rather chose, choices that led them through their journey, and at the end, they obtained a good report from God. And I know our heart, every one of us, our hearts are to have a good report from God. We went to school, we got report cards. Our teacher, they filled them out, and I remember when my dad was teaching over here at Black Creek. Back then, they did things differently. They take every single math grade, and he'd go down through and add all these grades, and divide them all up and write down an average. And just, yeah, I remember report card time. And they got it. They took it all, and they gave a report. Maybe an average of 85, maybe a 95. You passed or you didn't. We want a good report from God, for sure. That's one we don't want to miss. Because there is records kept. There's records kept. There's a book that is written of you and my life. And I know there's times in that I'm sure I would rather not see, but God has, I am so thankful that he has called us again, and he reminds us again to turn back to him. You see, we have the amazing opportunity to choose. Choice after choice, decision after decision. However, after a choice comes an action. After an action comes a way. After a way comes another way. And then another way. Way leads on to way. And finally, the destination comes. And that's where we're at, brothers. Choices that we make today. And many times it's like, you think about it. You just think about it. Why do you choose? So let me think here. And some things might be irrelevant, whatever, but we have a reason for everything we do, I believe. Like Brother James back there, he wears a beard and he don't have a mustache. Maybe it's irrelevant. You know what I mean? But there's a reason. You do it for a reason. And there's a host of other things. There's a reason we choose. And sometimes it's easy to say, oh, well, it's nothing. It's nothing. Yes, it is. It most certainly is. When we choose to do something, there's a reason behind it. So my heart is that let us be careful. Our final destination, of which we will have no say against or for, because it will be our reward. It'll just be dealt out perfectly. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Or then, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. But it's not, but it's based upon our decisions. Our choices, it's the way, you know, and ultimately the way we end up. But the way we're going, many times is the way we'll end up too. And I'm still thankful, as I said, God intervenes in such beautiful ways to help us. May God help us to realize the seriousness of each and every choice that we make. And I know I might sound very detailed with every little choice. Some little thing, I'm talking about super little things are, I don't want to leave no window there either. Because, you know, little things can be big things. I'll tell you what. Here a while back, we was burning trash out the back of our old, there's an old coop out the back. It's a little, I mean, it's nothing but a little predator hole now. But there's a trash pile out the back. It's kind of our junk place out the way out in the back. Our property's like this, and it's way back here. And we lit a fire. I have a bunch of boxes. We accumulate so many boxes, it seems, and we had this mountain of boxes piled up on the side of the shop, and I told my daughters, we've got to get this burned out. Took it out there, and this was when it was not green yet. A lot of things were dry and crusty. And we lit a fire, and I tell you what, that fire began to move. And all it did, I hit a little torch. I mean, just little torch. Just made a little flyer and fire, and this thing took off. And I mean, it started spreading around into the fields and around that building. And I mean, it lit fire to Victoria's wings. I mean, she was excited. There's fire here. And she ran to get the, like a snow shovel thing. And a customer was there, and he came out and brought a shovel. And he was helping me. We was whacking this fire out, you know. My point is this. It takes a little bit. A little choice often turns big. It's often that way. Way more than not. A tiny little match. How many of you children know what a match is? You guys know what matches are? They're real tiny. Light it and have a little fire just like this. Do you know that something like that could burn this whole building down? That little fire? It's real small, but it's powerful. It's still fire. Okay. And I just wanted to say again, and that every decision, small or great, will someday result in a destination for all eternity. My dear brothers and sisters, what choices are you and I, what are we making? Are they sound? Question mark. Are they supported by the Word of God? What does history have to say about this choice? 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-23. I'd like for you to turn there if you could. If you have your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'll give you time just to turn to it there. First Thessalonians 5. I'll begin reading 21-23. Okay, and I think about this verse because I heard a preacher preach it years ago. I'm talking about in 2008 or something. I mean, not when I was unconverted. But I heard him say this verse. He said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith was he that calleth you who also will do it. I just think about that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. When I think of proving something, it simply means test it. Test it. Look at it in the Word of God, a choice that you'd like to make, a decision you're wanting to make. Look at it. Talk with brothers. And the other thing is look at history. And I think we will see many things. If we observe carefully those three things, God will give us direction. What does it mean to prove all things? I think it means to test them. Just like I said, where will they go? What's the question mark? It's an honest question to ask, and it's fair. Where will this thing go? Where will it end up? And as I said before, all we need to do is observe, read the Word of God, and also observe history. It will give us a very, very good indication of where a certain choice will lead us. Pretty much. Remember, way leads on to way. Quoted from a brother. Brother Dale Gish spoke that. And we have power to choose and to make choices, but we have no power or say in the consequences that come. I'll say that one more time. We have the power to choose and to make choices, but we have absolutely no power or say in the consequences that come or follow. So let us make choices that are good, and God's blessings will come. The choices are good. God will give us direction. Now I have two practical points that I'd like to just share with you. And I don't know, it might sound like an old hat. You might think, why do we need to talk about this again? But I just couldn't help. I prayed about it. And these are the two things that the Lord brought to my mind and my heart. The one, I'll spend more time on it than the other. But again, my heart is that we would be careful. Because I am convinced in my heart that what I want to talk about, I believe it's a Trojan horse. How many of you know what a Trojan horse is and what I mean by that? It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I don't have all the answers. I just want to give you some things to think about and some questions at the end. And the questions, I'm going to leave them open to you to just take home, consider, think about it, and perhaps move with fear. I'm not sure. And how many of you know where I'm going? Melvin, do you know where I'm going? What's that? Have an idea? That's the roundabout way. Yeah, I'm just going to bring it before us again. The technology via our phones, brothers. I want to lay it before us again. And I just like to expose again what these things are doing to the world around us. And then may we be careful and observe, are they doing it to us? Because it's much more than just a phone. It does something up here. We went to Niagara Falls, and I was appalled. Everywhere we went, people was buried in them. It has become a way of life. When you see the person, you see their phone. It has become them. That's the danger with it. Technology continues to change. There's new inventions come across. The microwave was invented, the TV. But this thing has changed the world in a way that it never had anything before. It's because it becomes part of us. It becomes part of us. It dictates the way we think, the way we walk, the way we dress ourselves. It dictates so many things. It's a burden, brothers. I don't know what to say about it. But I feel like sometimes we must move with fear. Maybe take some action, some carefulness. I just can't. What it's doing is, in short, it is the greatest stimulant that America and the world has ever seen. It's a stimulant that you've got to have it. You've got to have it. And where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's it at? What's the, I mean, and it is amazing. Microsoft, the company Microsoft, made a statement in 2015. They said that the average attention span is 8 seconds. Less than a goldfish. And I'm here to vouch it because I know it. Those things are powerful. They grip you in a way that nothing else ever has before. The microwave don't grip the people. Even the TV, because you got to leave it at home. I'm just here to share my burden with us. And I don't have all the answers, by no means. But sometimes I think, as I said, I believe a brother shared this with me. A brother, I think he's in a holiness church. He's a customer. He came over. And he said, "Brother, these things are conditioning us for something else. They're conditioning us for something." He has one, but he has the internet turned off of it, whatever. They can be tools. I'll vouch for that. I know that. But he said, "Brother, they're conditioning us for something." And I believe it. I'm convinced of it. I believe if you see a big funnel, we use funnels at work to pour oil in or whatever, it's a big hole that tapers down to something very small. And it guides whatever. But I see the masses, and I mean across the world like never before. Everywhere you go, they're in everyone's hands. From low teens to old. And I'm not saying that to be in our hands is really wrong. It's not what they are, but it's what it does to us as people. That's the point. It's what it's doing. It is producing a nation, people, where autism, ADHD, all these things have been on the rise like never before. Attention Deficiency Disorder, ADT, ADD. Remember what I said, what Microsoft said? The average attention span is 8 seconds before you lose concentration. I feel like the Lord showed me that in a real way. And I'm just going to lay these things out to us all. It's not because it's something that we should maybe talk about. I think we need to be very careful. If we need to move with fear, make some changes, some choices, do it. It's worth it. Whatever it takes. The problem is that it takes time, and it does way more than that. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you study. I believe in the wake of this whole thing, and this was said by a secular man, in the wake of this whole thing, if you picture a ship going through the water, there's a wake behind him. In the wake of this trail of this stuff is going to be hordes of people that can't read hardly, they can't write, they cannot reason or think good. The good judgment is just out the door. I believe that's what's happening. And I just wanted to say, in the Word of God, it talks about meditation. It talks about thinking on me. Jesus said, "Learn of me." And I don't know what else it means, but just that. Sit down, think, meditate. Think on the things of God. Think on where I'm going. Think on the choices that I'm making. Are they good? Where will they go? What's the end of them? What happened to my friends when they made that choice? Where are they today? Let's read some scriptures. I just want to read some scriptures to you about thinking. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and I knew there were some verses missing here, Daniel. And I think I miscopied them. We're going to turn to it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. You can turn to it if you want. I mean, I understand that turning, it can distract your attention, but that's okay. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I just want to... Okay, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Think about it today. There is more disturbed faces and people that don't have peace than you have ever seen before. Though this great knowledge and every, and I'm not talking just the phone, but there's so many things. It has promised greater communication. We can talk to people across the world. I mean, it's nothing, no problem. And they can be benefits. But is it bringing peace? I don't think it is. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." In Genesis 24, verse 63, you know, the people of old meditated as well. They went on the rooftops, whatever. This is Isaac. This is when his Rebekah was coming. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Joshua 1, verse 8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua says that so many times in the book of Joshua. It's a blessing that thou mayest observe. He said, "Meditate therein day and night, so that you can observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein in the word of God. For then, by doing that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's a promise, my brothers. Let's do it. Psalms 1, verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate both day and night." Psalm 63, verse 5, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches." Psalm 63, I read that, I'm sorry. In 1 Timothy 4, we're familiar with this. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." That's a promise from God. Let's hold on to it, brothers. And again, think about it. I guess in comparison with our devices, we don't have to think. It'll do it all for you. I don't care what it is. Just about. In the area of thinking and figuring something out, you don't have to think. You don't have to think. And that's not good. That's the problem. It's not a good thing. Maybe you caught the word meditation. I certainly want to say that this device is perhaps not the core issue that leads to drift in the church, yet it is quite a big player in the whole picture. Sometimes I was sitting there thinking about this, I was tossing it back and forth. Does it really make a difference, or does it not? Can it really change the course of a church, but I think it has changed the course of the world. I think it can change the course of the church if we're not careful. And I think the only way that us as a body, myself included, at the very first, that we can move through this thing with carefulness and with fear is by being open to one another, being accountable to one another, and being very careful. And use them as a tool. Use them as a tool. The epidemics of the bygone years, such as diphtheria, smallpox, polio, and etc., they would wipe out many children and adults. Terrible epidemics. However, this epidemic that we're facing today is perhaps much greater. Much more devastating and or destructive than all the others put together. Here are my thoughts. I'm going to give you my thoughts. And again, I am open for correction. You're welcome to say, I'm open, I'm here. It began. I remember I used to go to work with my first boss. And he had the phone in the bag. Remember that, anybody? The phone in the bag. The horn would go off and, you know, that's the way you answer your phone. Then he got a cell phone. And I got a cell phone in 1998 or 9 in a sneak. I got it. It was not good. I bought it from somebody and I hid it from my dad and whatever. But I finally broke it out to him, told him I had it. Then he began to use it too. So it came as a very sweet package. Little phone, had a little Nokia phone. Those little, nice little phone, small. Had no texting, no voicemail. That was additional charges. That was additional. You had to pay for that. So today, however, it goes far beyond that. Today we have all of that, calling, text, voicemail. Now we all have a GPS. We all have a complete Bible, a complete commentary, a weather app, a news app, a pitch pipe, calculator, cameras, and the absolute massive amounts of storage to store thousands of pictures. Is it good? That's my question. Is it good? You know, it's absolutely crazy. The storm is coming. The weather app pops up. The storm is 5 miles away. You know, pops up again 3 miles away. You're going to have rain in 20 minutes. Well, who cares? It's just something to pull us in. It's these notifications. And what it is, I feel like this, a secular person said this, it is like when you get these notifications and you're just on that thing, it's just like it produces they call it dopamine. It's something in your brain that you like. It gives you a certain amount of pleasure. And this is the problem with it. The more you get, the more you want. And the more you get, the more you want. And there's never satisfaction. That's why the phone developers have to develop cloud storage now, which is nothing more than just absolutely massive buildings with thousands and thousands of servers and memory so that we can upload our many thousands of pictures. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me. Every conceivable social media app we can have so we can stay connected. Every email account, we can have 10 of them if we want. They're all right there. And on top of it, the full access to the worldwide internet at astounding speeds. Quick. 4G is fast. You can send pictures like you never did before. It's amazing. Truly amazing devices. And I just became astounded in my mind. I was just thinking, and it's almost overloading to my mind to think about all those things. To prove its grip, I just encourage you The next time you go anywhere, restaurant, go on a vacation, just look around you. Just look around you. We were in a little restaurant. We stopped at a Denny's on the way home from Niagara Falls. And I don't know if there was one or two tables in there where if it was old people. And I'll give you some statistics here in a minute. But there was old people that would sit there. I didn't see a phone. And they was just communicating. Otherwise, I mean, there's four people on a table. Every one of them had their phones out doing something with it. What on earth is that going to do? It's amazing. You know, I think it was in 2016 or 17, and we were at the falls there, and again, I mean, it is just, and the foreigners, they have their selfie sticks that stick way out here, and they're taking pictures across the falls. Last year, or I think in 16, I'm not sure, some foreigner was standing on one of the little concrete monuments trying to take a selfie of herself and fell off, and she died. They didn't find her body till 4 days later. Over in China in 2015, there was a lady went to the, these are facts, she went to the bus stop with her child, and she sat down waiting on the bus, she gets out her phone, she's playing on her phone, all of a sudden she hears a crack, and her son was hit by a car. And one thing said he was killed, the other one said he was not. But the authorities said that you're giving way too much priority to your phone. Another lady in China as well, she walked right out in front of a car. This time she got, or a truck, and she got run over. Literally run over. There are stories like that all over the place. And now today we have this device called a hoverboard. I don't know if many of you know what those things are or not. I just heard about it, and I just thought, Lord, help us. Now we'll be in having hoverboard crashes because we're on our smartphones. It's a device that you stand on, and I guess somehow it senses the pressure of your feet, and then it actually goes. It has batteries, and because when you lean, you exert pressure, and it causes these things to go. I'm just thinking, what in the world else is coming down the pipeline? You know, and as I thought about that, I thought about our, right over here in Darling Road, we grew up and we did not have like a lot of toys. I mean, we had some, but, some of the greatest memories and things that we had, the old ditch out the back, we spent lots of time out there. And I would still like to take my children and walk down the path someday if I can. But we would we would play softball and catch, and that was our entertainment. We didn't have, and many of you older ones, you know what I'm talking about. And it might seem like we didn't have much, but I'm thankful. I guess I'm thankful. Today, you younger people and younger children, take heed to what your parents are telling you. They can see farther ahead than what you can, and they know better. Take heed and listen to them, because they care for your soul. And I already said this, Microsoft stated in 2015 that the average attention span is 8 seconds before losing concentration. Also stated in a survey done, nearly 80%, listen to this, 80% of people ages 18 to 24 responded yes when asked this question. When nothing else is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. They said yes. Those over 65 years old, the number was 10%. And that's interesting. I can see that. We have a teacher we go to in Ohio. He's actually from Chicago to learn, keep up on our trade a little bit, I guess. But anyways, whenever I call him, he never answers the phone. I leave a message, and he'll call me back pretty quick. Usually it's within an hour or so. But he does never answer his phone. He just takes a voicemail. He might receive a text, but he will always call you back and answer your question. It's just interesting. He's about 60, I'd say 60 somewhere, I don't know, older man. But today, we need it like this, right now. Send a text out, we expect one back immediately, just like that. And just like that, we've got to have that thing answered immediately. And what it does is it produces something again in us that's not good. That's what's happening. It's this. I'll just go on. It is the greatest stimulus or stimulant that we have ever seen. And it takes us virtually out of touch with reality. That's the point. And I had, there's a guy I explained it to. I saw a guy explain this. He said, you know, you're at the falls or you're at whatever. Maybe you want to go see a choir sing or you want to see a beautiful sunset. And well, you go there and from every conceivable angle, everybody's up there video and they're videoing this thing through their screen. You know, just videoing it. That's not reality. That's reality. It takes you away from reality and puts you somewhere else. And the whole thing with, you know, pictures and videos, and I just get so weary of it. I just think, is it necessary to have 1,000 pictures on my phone? I just don't know. I just don't know. Where's it at? And I'm just laying all these things out here, brothers. You guys can think about them and comment or correct me. I'm totally okay with that. But I just really, really wonder what it's going to do if we're not careful. I know what it can do to me. It takes us out of reality, out of touch with reality, and it's like one more video, one more game, one more just checking something out on the web, one more post, like to post or something, one more chat to stay in touch. And in its wake again, in its wake of this path of things, it leaves a group of people gasping for more and more to satisfy, and yet they're never satisfied. It is doing precisely what it was designed to do. That's the point. And even just think about it. Just think about this. Just the simple thing of a touch screen. Just a touch screen. It's amazing. I mean, it's like you go boom and it's there. It's just amazing. There could be much more said regarding this thing. And as I said, I really feel like, and maybe it's not just the device itself. However, somehow, some way, the end of time will come with what's called the mark of the beast. It's going to come. And I believe it'll come in a way that's going to be subtle. And there's going to be a preparation beforehand. It's not all of a sudden it's going to come up and you got to appear to get this mark. It's not going to be that way. I believe, as I keep going back, I think about this, what this brother told me. He said, brother, it's conditioning us. It's conditioning us. And I think we need to be honest. We need to be careful. I think very careful. And again, I think the only way is that we can be open, communicate. And where we're going, you know, I don't have all them answers. I'm laying it out here. Because I just feel, if you look, has there been any other thing that has changed the world more than that? I really don't think it has. And it has swept, I mean, everybody. I went past the buggy last night on 37. This boy is like, he's down here, you know, driving down the road. Guarantees on his phone. You know, everywhere. Everywhere. But is it all good? I have a few questions here. I want to write them on the board. And again, I am putting myself beside you right now, okay? I'm not asking you questions that I have answers for, but I'm answering to them myself. I feel like I have in the past couple days. But I want to be honest. I'd like to write these down here. And again, brothers, remember, behind each of these questions, there's a choice. There's a choice that you make. As a father of the home, there's a choice. You know what? I have so many things to go through. Who wants to write these up for me? Somebody willing to? Alvy, you want to? Don't matter. I just want somebody to write these up here. I'm going to kind of continue to go through here as Brother Alvy writes these down for us. Right there. There's like six of those. Well, can you remember them? Go ahead. You know, and as I think about it, these questions, Brother Alvy's going to write up there. You know, I just think that it's important that we are just completely honest. Myself, all of us, very careful. And maybe you as a brother, as a family, maybe you've got it all. Maybe you've got it figured out. Maybe this doesn't affect you. Praise the Lord if it don't. But if it does, let's be honest. How are we doing with our phone usage? That's all. Just that. And I told my wife, I want to ask questions here, but I'm going to leave them open. I'm not going to answer them or, you know, how are we doing? Just be honest. The other question he's writing, do you ever shut it off? Know what I mean? Do you ever shut them off? They have become everything to all men. It is amazing. Everything to all men. And think about it. Who else should that be? Who should that really be? Who should be everything to all men, Martin? God, Jesus Christ. I think the next one there is, how much time do you spend on the phone? Just maybe it's idle time. Maybe when we're sitting there, maybe when you're sitting there as a family, what? How much time? What do you do? What's the next question there, Albie? Okay, why is it? Yeah. Okay.